but I'm glad you made it a point to be here tonight, and I believe that we're in for a treat tonight. I love preaching on the home, and I think that it's important during really every year to take some time to emphasize the home. That's something that we need to come back to constantly. I'm going to switch mics here. You guys could switch. And we all need to be challenged on the subject of the home, and regardless of what your home looks like, all right? You may be, you might have grown kids, you might have been married 1 year, not married yet at all, or married for 40 years. But especially if you've been married 40 years, you understand marriage takes work. Your job as a parent never ends. In one sense, as I've grown as a pastor and counseled people, I've come to understand that in some ways, parenting adult children is almost more difficult in some senses than parenting the children when they're in your own home, mostly because they don't have to do what you say anymore, and that is really difficult. And so we all are a work in progress when it comes to our home, and we're going to take some time throughout the month of January to focus on the family, to focus on our homes. And that is something that is so critically important for us. And so I want you to take your Bibles tonight and go to Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter 24. And as we take some time to put the family in focus, we're just going to zoom in on our homes. We're going to zoom in on our marriages, on our parenting, on our children and their place in the home, on our responsibility as husbands, wives, grandparents, whatever the case may be for you. And you may say, well, Pastor, that really doesn't fit any of what I am. Well, maybe the message, especially for some of you young people, might be to help you lay a foundation in your heart and your mind for what your home is going to look like when God blesses you with one. But regardless of what state of life you're in, we all need help for our homes. And if we would be honest with each other, all of us go through seasons of struggle in our home. There's nobody who has a perfect home. Sometimes I've heard people speak on the home and say, well, my wife, in all the years we've been married, we never have a fight. What I want to say is liar, liar, pants on fire, okay? Now, I can honestly say Emily and I, we've never hollered at each other, but boy, there has been trouble in paradise before, okay? And I'm right there with the rest of you all, and most of it is my fault, okay? I'll readily admit that as well. But all of us, from time to time, have struggles in our home. Why? We're sinners, okay? We drop the ball. We get it wrong. We go astray. And because of that, we really need revival in our home from time to time. Getting back to things that make home work the way that God intended for it to. And so, how are things going in your home? It's a good question to start with. Honestly, evaluate the status of your marriage, parenting, even with your adult children, teenagers, young people. You think about your relationship to mom and dad. How's it going? That's what I want us to think about as we get started tonight. More importantly, I want to ask you, would you be willing to listen to the instruction from God's Word to help you have the home that God intended for you to have? And so let's pray together, and let's just ask the Lord to anoint these moments that we'll spend together in the Scriptures and open our hearts to the truth of His Word. Our Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You for the opportunity to open Your Word, and I just pray that You would put a holy hush on this room now. And I pray, God, that You'd open our hearts and minds to the truth of Your Word and help us to be strengthened in the ministry of our homes, the most important ministry that any of us have, more important than anything we do for You in a church or in any type of other ministry, Lord, is what You blessed us with in our home. And if our homes fall apart, we don't have much of a ministry left. And I just pray, God, that You would strengthen and encourage the people that are in this room and those who will listen to this recording or the live stream perhaps later on. And I pray that You would just equip them with the truth that they need to strengthen their home. Every one of these principles can have a powerful impact as Your Spirit uses them. I pray, God, that You would transform our homes for Your glory. And these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. To begin focusing in on our homes this month, I want to start with preaching to you about simplifying your home. Our theme this year is simplify, And so I'd like to take a minute to talk about simplifying your home. And I believe the passage we have in front of us holds some great truth for us to be able to understand how to do that. Now, sometimes we allow other things to creep into our homes that only complicate them. And I could go on with a laundry list of things that we allow to creep into our home that really cause our homes to be dysfunctional and complicate our relationships. And all of us must be careful about these types of things. And so if you're going to simplify your home, you must recognize how a godly home is supposed to be put together. And God has given us some basic principles in His Word to help us understand how a godly home is supposed to be put together. Now listen, nothing I am going to share with you tonight is groundbreaking. You're going to listen to it and say, yeah, I knew that. Right? Here's the problem, though. We know it. We don't follow it all the time, do we? That's why we need to be reminded. For 2 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter told the church, I'm telling you these things to remind you of them so I can stir you up to practice them. That's how I feel with coming to you with a message like this as well. For most of you, this is not going to be groundbreaking stuff. It's going to be stuff you've heard before, perhaps many times. But I'm reminding you of these truths to stir you up, because if you've gotten off track, you need to get back on track when it comes to the ministry of your home. And so that's something that I want you to consider with me as we look at this truth. Now, there are three institutions that God has founded in this world. And the first of them was the home, the family. The second, Genesis chapter 9, or 6 and 9, was the government. And the third institution that the Lord has founded in this world is the church that happened in the New Testament. And we're focusing, and obviously this month, on the first institution, which is the home. By the way, Satan is waging an all-out war on the family. No mistake about it. And you look at the divorce rate, even among Christians today, it is sickening. And in one sense, I was actually looking at the statistics, and I think I've mentioned this before, but the divorce rate per capita in our country and among Christians is actually declining. And you say, oh, that's good. Well, it's not good, and I'll tell you why it's not good. Because people aren't even getting married anymore, living together. Easier. You don't have to get divorced that way if it doesn't work out. Still not God's way, by the way. And God's still adamantly against it. That's not what I'm preaching about tonight, but listen to me. Satan's waging a war against the home. And as the home goes, so the churches go. And as the church go, so goes the nation. And Satan knows if he can tear the family apart, he can tear churches apart, and he can tear a nation apart. And if that isn't what exactly is happening in our country today, I don't know what is. Satan has waged a war against the family for decades now. And it has deeply impacted our churches, and it has deeply impacted our country in a very negative way. And so it would be prudent for us to focus in on our families and make sure that we're going about our home the way that God has commanded us to. In Genesis chapter 2, God brought the first man and the first woman together. That was the institution of marriage. And when He brought them together, this is what He told them in Genesis 1:28. He said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." And this was the institution of reproduction. And from the very beginning, God's intention was for the home to be composed of a man and a woman and children. And that was how God structured the home to be. By the way, it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, okay? That's an important clarification to make in our day and time, too. And all kidding aside, hey, our society is waging a culture war to try to make it acceptable. They want to make us talk about how it's acceptable for same-sex unions. I'm here to tell you today, that ain't never going to happen. The reason why it's never going to happen is because God has not changed His mind, and neither should we. Say, oh, well, it was Old Testament truth where the Bible says that a homosexuality is an abomination to the Lord. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22 says that. And yes, it's in the Old Testament, but you go read Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 also condemns the practice. And I could bring you many places in the New Testament, and let it suffice it to say, because this isn't the message, God's very clear on the subject. And I'm not going back down preaching on it because it's not culturally relevant. The Bible says preach the word in season and out of season, and it's not a popular season to say it, but I'm going to say it anyways, because the Bible still says to say it. And we need to understand, especially for the sake of our young people,
We don't have to accommodate this political agenda. We don't have to secede to this agenda that tells us that we have to tell our kids, well, those kinds of unions are okay. They're not okay, and it's okay to tell your kids they're not okay. Somebody's got to stand up in their home. Somebody's got to stand up in a church and to try to communicate the truth of God's word and pass it on to the next generation. We could spark on that a really long time, but I won't, all right? The point is, God put the family together a certain way, and if you want to do it God's way, you need to understand the way that God put the family together. The story about a boy who came to his dad, and he asked his dad that dreaded question, how are people born? And his dad told him the truth. He said, well, Adam and Eve made babies, and those babies became adults, and they got married, and they made babies, and so on and so forth. And explained it to his son. His son went off, and later on, he was with his mom, and he said, Mom, how are babies born? Mom told him, well, we were monkeys, and then we evolved into being like we are now. And the little boy went back to his dad, and he said, you told me that people come this way, and Mom told me that people come this way. What's the difference? And he said, son, there's no the difference is your mom was talking about her side of the family. Now, I hope that didn't actually happen, but regardless, we understand that God put the home together in a certain way. And if we're going to have a godly home, we're going to simplify our home and take out the complication and the things that are causing the dysfunction in our home, we're going to have to get back to having our homes function the way that God intended for them to. And when I want to know how something works, what I do is I look up the manufacturer's instruction manual to show me how it's supposed to work. That's not typical for a man to do, I know, okay? But I really want to know how it works. I'm going to go back to the person who created it, made it, to tell me how it's supposed to work. If we want to know how the home is supposed to work, we need to go back to the instruction manual of its designer, of its creator, and that's God. And God's word gives us the instruction we need to understand how to have a godly home. And so Proverbs chapter 3, 24, and verses 3 and 4 give us some instruction. We could go many places for this tonight, but we'll focus here in Proverbs 24. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says in verse 3, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. From this passage of Scripture, I believe the Bible gives us three biblical components to having a godly home. And I want us to notice what these are tonight. First off, if you want to note these down, I want you to note the first biblical component, and that is the formation of a godly home. The formation of a godly home. The Bible says there at the beginning of verse 3, through wisdom is an house or a household builded. The Bible tells us that in building a home, wisdom is a central component. The word wisdom there is the Hebrew word chokmah, which speaks of skill in the Old Testament. Webster's 1828 dictionary, which I am beginning to prefer old dictionaries more and more because they're redefining a lot of things in our modern time. But Webster's 1828 dictionary defines wisdom as the right use of knowledge. I like that definition. The right use of knowledge. My personal definition for wisdom is truth that is applied. Applying the truth that you've already come to know. And so the Bible tells us that wisdom is how you're supposed to build a home. Wisdom is simply using what you have learned rightly. Putting into practice the truth that you learn, specifically the truth that you learn from God. And so if you want to build a godly home, it starts with you doing what God says. It's pretty simple, okay? It starts with you doing what God says. And so I was thinking about this today. Have you ever met someone, just it seems like they had a hard time, they had a hard time to learn from what they were taught? I was thinking about it in the context of my brother. My wife was talking to me about something about my brother today, and this is what brought it to my mind. When I was a kid, I was the compliant kid, you know what I mean? I wasn't that kid that was outwardly rebellious, you know, I was a pretty good kid. I had my ornery moments, but I was that kid that if my dad looked at me the wrong way, I just broke down. Talking about? All right. Elizabeth's nodding her head because you're that kid too, aren't you? All right, there you go. We're kindred in that. But I was that kid. My brother, on the other hand, not that kid, okay? And my sister really wasn't either. And so I had the distinct privilege as the middle child of getting to watch my brother and sister make many mistakes. I learned from those what not to do with mom and dad. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, okay? All of us grew up in homes. All of us had friends and watched how other people raised their families. And the truth of the matter is we saw some good things. When we came to our own family, we said, you know what, I want to follow that example. Perhaps we experienced some bad things, and some of you, you just had horrible situations that you grew up in. And you got your own family, you said, I want to do everything opposite of what I experienced in growing up. And the truth of the matter is, a fool is someone who never learns from any of those types of experiences. In fact, let me read you this quote. One person put it this way: a wise man learns by the experience of others, an ordinary man learns by his own experience, and a fool learns by nobody's experience. The truth is, as we look at God's Word and as we look at the examples in our own lives, we ought to learn some things as God teaches us through those things about how our own family ought to be run. And so God says through wisdom, through the application of His truth, is an house builded. Now that word translated builded, it literally means established or caused to continue. Do you want to have an established godly home? Do you want to have a godly home that will last for generations to come? Well, the Bible says the only way that is possible is through the application of God's truth. When we exercise wisdom, when we put God's truth into practice, it will inevitably result in the establishment of a godly home. You know, with over 50% of even Christian homes today ending in divorce, this brings us to a common desire. I think that we all could say that we want our homes to be established in God's ways. And if that is a desire in your heart, the only way that is possible is if you seek to build your home through wisdom, through the application of God's truth. Now, how can you do that? Well, if you want to turn over there, you can, or you can write this down. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If you are going to apply wisdom in the context of your home, you first need to realize that you have a shortage of wisdom. This wisdom doesn't come from you. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, be honest, we all lack the wisdom we need. Right? I remember when Emily got pregnant with our first child. That was an intimidating thing. We were 21 or 22 years old, and well, it was all exciting at first, but I remember after Hattie, our firstborn, was born, I'm holding that baby one day. I'm looking down, and I'm thinking, no, I'm a parent. I'm not ready. And I remember feeling like this absolute hopelessness, like this poor kid has me as a parent. And honestly, I thought in my mind, I talked to God about it. I said, God, why in the world would you let 21, 22-year-old, I won't use the word I'm thinking of, but dummies, okay, have children? It seems like you have children when you're young, when you are the least prepared to have children. I'm thinking now, I've actually had children for a while, I've learned some things, and maybe it would have been smarter for God to have me let me have children now, or maybe even when I'm a little bit older even. But God gives us kids, it seems like, at a time of life when we're the least prepared for it. Why? Because He wants us to depend on Him. And if we're being honest, whether you have a kid at 20 or 40, 50, never ready for it. Never have all the answers. You never have everything you need. And that's exactly the point. God wants us to depend on Him. We don't have the wisdom we need to be able to have the home, the marriage, be the parents, be the children, be the family members that God's called us to be. And so we need to depend on God for it. And listen, if you're going to have the truth from God to apply in the context of your home to have a godly home, you're going to have humility to say, God, I need You to show me how to be a good husband. I need You to show me how to be a good wife. I need You to show me how to be a good child to my parents. I need You to show me how to be a good daddy or mommy to my children, because you don't have what it takes. You need God. You realize your shortage of wisdom, and in conjunction with that, you also need to receive God's supply of wisdom. James chapter 1 verse 5, it goes on to say, if any man lack wisdom, Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In other words, if you come to God asking him to give you wisdom, help you understand how to apply his truth, and whatever you're struggling with, he'll give it to you. Will instruct you. I like Psalm 32 and verse 8 where the Bible says, the Lord said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go, and I will guide you with mine eye. You come to the Lord asking him to show you how to have a godly home. I promise you, as you seek him, he'll begin to show you the areas that need to change. He'll begin to show you the areas where you need to start applying his truth in your life. And I like what Abraham Lincoln once said about this. He said, I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. Be honest. As you raise kids, as you go through struggles in your own home and your own marriage, there are times that you come to where you say, I don't know what to do. Times, even as a counselor for marriages, people come and bring me heartbreaking stories. There's been many times I just have to tell the Lord, I don't know how to help these people. You know what? Every time you go to God seeking answers, always comes through. He always comes through. He has the wisdom that you need. We don't have what it takes, but God has what it takes. And if you want to know how to build a godly home, how to have a godly home, it starts with you recognizing the formation of a godly home, and that is through wisdom is a house builded. Now let's look at the second thing here. Number two, the second biblical component for a godly home, I want you to see the stability of a godly home. The stability of a godly home. The end of verse 3, let's read it out loud together, all right? Well, end of verse 3, it says, by understanding a house is established. By understanding, it is established. But the Bible talks about it. It talks about wisdom being central to the building of a home. And it speaks about understanding being central to the establishing of a home. Now, the word understanding, it speaks of comprehension here. Personally, this is how I define the difference here. Wisdom is truth applied. Understanding is truth that is apprehended. Truth that is apprehended. So get this, as you follow God's truth, your house begins to be built up. Then as you fathom God's truth, your house begins to become established. Now, sometimes I've thought, well, those things are backwards. God mentions wisdom first and then understanding and then knowledge. And you'd think that he'd start with knowledge. But here is what I've learned, okay? God shows us what we're supposed to do from His Word. Regardless of whether you understand it, when you start to do it, it works. Then eventually you'll come back around to a place where you understand, oh, that's why God told me to do that. I've had many parents tell me through the years, well, spanking just doesn't work on my children. It doesn't work. Let me try to kindly say this. Listen, God is the one who encourages the use of the rod. And who are you to wave your finger at God? Say, God, I'm sorry, but you got this one wrong. It doesn't work with my kid. Well, I propose to you, you're wrong. Because if you use the rod the way the Bible tells you to, I promise you, it will work. Now, I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm talking about loving, tender, chastening, discipline, just like the Lord does with us. That's what I'm talking about. But hey, you can wave your finger at God and say, God, your ways don't work. But if instead you say, by faith, I'm going to do what God says, even if it doesn't make sense to me, when you start to do it, it starts to work, and all of a sudden, that makes sense now. That's how this works. That's how faith works in general. Listen, you may look at some of the things that you feel like God's wanting you to do for your home, and you might think, it's never going to work for me. That'll never work for my marriage. That'll never work with my kids. And you can wave your finger at God and tell Him that His ways won't work, but if instead you'd have some humility tonight and say, you know what I'm doing isn't working anyways, so let's try God's way. And when you start doing it, you'll come around back to a place where you'll realize God's ways, they're perfect. They always work. Principles are tried and proven. You can depend on them. So through understanding, a house becomes established. That word established, it literally means to be stable or to be firm. And so what the scripture is saying here is as you begin to practice God's truth, you begin to understand its significance. And the end result is that your home will become a stable home. Now listen to me on this. One of the reasons why so many homes are unstable today is because people go back and forth when it comes to following what God's word tells them to do. What does the Bible tell us in James chapter 1? I believe it's verse 8. Because a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. Can't be half in and half out. You can't be half in living for God and half in trying to do things your own way. It's an all or nothing type of thing. And if you're double-minded when it comes to how your home is being run, friend, you're going to have an unstable home. To be honest, we struggle with this just as much as anybody else. And it's a battle. It's a battle to train your kids up in the way of the Lord and have consistent times in the Scripture with them. It's a battle to keep your marriage in a healthy place where it ought to be. All of it's a battle. But friend, if you're this half-on, half-off type of thing, you're not going to have a stable home. You're going to have an unstable home. And that's a convicting thing for me to say, and I think if we'll honestly consider what I'm trying to get across, it will be a convicting thing for all of us to hear. One minute you decide you want to live for God. We're going to go to church. We're going to be faithful to church. We're going to do family devotions. We're going to put an emphasis on the Lord. And one week, there's that emphasis. And the next week, well, that changed. It's this one minute trying to do things God's way and another minute trying to do things another way. And that type of half-on, half-off commitment will not do if you want to have a stable, godly home. And so if you try to establish your home on any other foundation than the one that God proposes to us in His Word, you will find that it simply will not work. It will not work. What does Psalm 127, verse 1 say? Says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Work is all in vain if you're trying to establish your home any other way than God's way. So that ought to produce a desire in our spirit that says, okay, I'm done trying to do this myself. I want to understand God's way. I want to do it God's way. And that's exactly what I think the Lord is trying to bring us to as a church tonight. Making that kind of decision. And can I just be frank? It ain't working your way anyways. Why don't you try God's way? It will work. You'll trust the Lord. And that's so significant for us to see. And so have you understood what makes an established home a commitment to learning and following God's truth? Will you choose to establish your home on the truth of God's Word? See, as we've looked at tonight, the formation of a godly home. The second component is the stability of a godly home. But the final thing I want you to see this evening, the final biblical component for a godly home, is the furnishings of a godly home. Let's look at the furnishings of a godly home. Verse number 4, we have this final word of instruction. The Bible says, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. We first looked at wisdom. The next part of the verse talked about understanding, and now we've come to this knowledge. All right? The word knowledge here, it means perception. I define knowledge as truth that is attained. So knowledge is truth attained. Understanding is truth apprehended. Wisdom is truth that's then applied. And like I told you earlier, I've always thought, well, you come to know the truth, and then you understand the truth, and then you do the truth. But I found in actual practice, sometimes it's the opposite. God reveals the truth to you that you need to know. And sometimes He says, you just start doing it, apply it, practice wisdom, and eventually you'll come to understand it. Knowledge is the last thing that the Scriptures mentions to us here. And what the Bible indicates to us is as you come to know more of God's truth concerning your home in particular, what is going to happen is that your home will begin to abound more and more. That's what it says in verse 4. By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. That word filled, in the Hebrew, it speaks of abounding, superabounding, or overflowing, or satisfaction. And, you know, I think it's the desire of all of us in our homes to have our homes just be abounding with the goodness of God. Abounding with God's riches and with God's blessing, with peace and with joy and with prosperity and with satisfaction. I think all of us desire those things for our homes, and I don't doubt that. And yet,
That is something that only comes as we learn more from God about what a godly home is supposed to be filled with. You're not just going to have your home filled with those things without doing it God's way. But as you come to understand what God says about your home and put it into practice, the result is going to be a beautiful thing. Your home will become filled with the richness of God's blessing. And so the knowledge of God provides the home with an overflow of God's blessings. Listen, I've known many people, many families that I respect. They did not have much of this world's goods. Rich, didn't have much of what this world has to offer. But what they did have was the richness of God's blessing, because they were wanting to build a home God's way. I'll tell you something. What's more valuable than having the new truck and the big camper, okay, so you can go out on 4th of July weekend? Much more valuable than having the boat, much more valuable than having the new TV or the new smartphone or the best gadgets, much more important than making sure your kids have all the things you didn't have that you wanted when you were a kid. Things are fine and good if you could afford them. It's much more valuable than that stuff, having kids who know Jesus as their Savior. John, verse number 4, says, I have no greater joy to know that my children walk in the truth. I tell you, there have been plenty of parents who gave all their kids that stuff and then watched their kids grow up without Christ and walk out of the church and have never come back. I guarantee you, they would trade giving their kids all that stuff for giving them Christ any day of the week. What's more valuable? See, we can get sidetracked by our jobs and by obtaining things, because that's what our culture tells us we're supposed to be possessed with as Americans. So sidetracked with those things that our homes become dysfunctional and we lose what's really important. Friend, truth may be for some of you in this room, your home is not a fun place to be. Not an enjoyable place to be. I've heard it once, I've heard it hundreds of times from people that have come to me and they've said, Pastor, I don't even want to go home anymore. It's not how God intended it to be. Your marriage, dealing with your kids, that's not how God intended it to be. You say, how do I change it? Change it by getting back to what God has to say about how your home is supposed to be put together. Right? And growing in this knowledge of what God has to teach us about the home will completely revolutionize your home. Boy, I've known other families who, they had all the stuff, they had all the things that you could think you could want for yourself, for your kids. Homes were filled with strife, with bitterness, with anger, with rebellion. I don't want that. Miserable to live with. My question to you tonight is, what is your home filled with today? You go home filled with God's rich blessings because you're not perfect, but you're striving to do it God's way. Because perhaps it started to become filled with some things that you don't like what you're seeing. Things that God didn't intend for you to have in your home. If that is the case, then perhaps you've gotten away from God's instructions for how a godly home is supposed to be built. I don't have time to go into this tonight, so I'll just mention it. But I thought about some things the Bible teaches us our home should be filled with. There are several passages of Scripture I have here. We'll not be able to go to any of them, so I'll just mention them. But I want to give you some biblical knowledge to give you an idea of what the Bible says your home should be filled with. Let me just mention these to you. First off, a godly home filled with the Spirit of God. Filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18 through 20. Oh, it's a sweet place to be. To walk with God in your home. Wake up in the morning and your kids know. Mom and Dad read their Bible. And many times our kids know that. That's the first thing Emily and I do every day. Well, we're usually already up doing it. When they wake up and they'll come in and sit. They'll sit on my lap and say, Dad, will you read to me? Every time, but sometimes. Sometimes Hattie will go get out her own Bible and just start reading. Or one of the other girls. Now, some of them can't read yet, but at least they're trying, okay? It's filled with the presence of God, Spirit of God. It's a pleasant rich. That's some pleasant riches that God wants your home to be filled with. Godly home is filled with selflessness. Not about my agenda, not about the wife's agenda, the husband's agenda, the children's agenda. We're all serving each other. Godly home is filled with selflessness. A godly home is filled with love. Husbands, love your wives, Ephesians 5 says. Unconditional, a sacrificial love that puts others before self. Godly home is filled with acceptance. This is an important one. I wish I had time to park on it, but I don't. But especially for your children and your spouse, you need to know that when they're home, they're accepted as they are. They are all a work in progress. Don't make your home a miserable place to be.
the fact that all you ever have to say to your children and all you ever have to say to your spouse, how wrong everything is. Acceptance is the optimum environment for growth. Till you can accept them and love them where they are, will not nag them to death, make them get better. You've got to accept them where they are and give them ground to be able to grow. I can park on that a long time. I don't have time, though, but acceptance is one of those rich those pleasant riches that I believe God wants our homes to be filled with. Another one, a godly home is filled with value. Actually, go home, people that care about you, that value you. A lot of us struggle with this, feeling valued. Boy, that pleasant thing. It's a wonderful rich piece of riches that God blesses us with in our home when we have people that actually value us. I could go on about that a while as well. A godly home is filled with commitment. Husband and wife that are committed to each other, absolutely. Parents that are committed to their children. A godly home is filled with intimacy. People that are intimate, not just on a physical level, but are intimate on an emotional level as well, on a relational level. They can talk to each other and connect with each other. They can confide in each other. They don't have to go outside their home to find someone to talk to. People inside the home to be able to connect with. Godly home is filled, finally, with unity. Unity. Everyone knows their place. No one's trying to usurp the place of someone else. Children obey your parents. Husbands love your wives. Wives be submissive to your husbands. Everyone understands who they are and what God created them to be. And it's not a competition. We're all united to have the home God wants us to have. That's something that's a precious piece of riches that God wants to bless our homes with. And boy, I could go on with many other things, but I wanted to cast in your mind what some of those pleasant riches that God wants our home to be filled with, what they look like. And the scripture makes that clear for us. Now, several years ago, I read about an incident that has been noted as the greatest architectural blunder in the history of humanity. It's a pretty big deal, right? We have an architect here, okay? It was a skyscraper that was built in South America, actually. And this multi-story building, considered a skyscraper, I can't remember what city it's in right now, they were almost done building it when they realized architects had forgot something in the blueprints. What was? Elevators. That's a pretty bad deal right there, okay? That's why it's noted as one of the worst architectural blunders ever. That's a pretty big oversight. But the reason the contractors didn't put elevators in, because it wasn't in the blueprints, and they almost got done with the thing before they realized, we have forgotten something very significant here. It just caused me to think, if you're using the wrong blueprint for your home, years will go by. You'll look back and realize, missed what was really important. Because we didn't use God's blueprint. You don't want that to be your story. If you want to have a godly home, you're going to have to go back to God's instructions, do it God's way. By the way, whether you are just getting married or you've been married for years, it's never too late to start. Never too late to start. You say, well, my marriage has already ended, and there's no hope for that. Listen, you can still be a godly father. You can still be a godly mother, all right? And there are still ways that you can apply these truths in your own life. And listen to me. All of us need to go back to these simple instructions from God's Word. And wherever God's Spirit has revealed we're getting off track, it's time for us to turn hearts back to God's directions for us. Simplify your home. Remove the things in your home are not God-honoring, that are not being done God's way, and get back to doing things God's way. That's really what it's all about. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes together. Home is going to be built right. You must be willing to build it according to the instructions of God.